the time of human government and human rule upon this earth is going to be concluded by a great battle called the Battle of Armageddon. This great climactic battle is mentioned several times in the Bible. Some weeks ago, as we studied through the Revelation, we studied the events that are going to take place during the last 7 years of Gentile government and of human government. In the course of that study, we found that the events are revealed in a series of three sevens of symbols. There was the picture or the scene of the Lord Jesus opening a scroll that was sealed by seven stamps. And as he broke each of those stamps, a great event that would take place during the last 7 years was uncovered. The first six of those seals or stamps that was broken apparently takes place during the first 3.5 years. When the Lord Jesus opened the seventh seal that closed that scroll, it was constituted by seven angels sounding trumpets, indicating events that would take place during the last 3.5 years. And as each angel sounded a trumpet, a great event that is going to take place during the last 3.5 years was indicated. When the seventh angel sounded a trumpet, that was constituted by seven angels pouring out seven bowls of wrath, which will take place apparently at the very end of that 7-year period of time. Now, the sixth of those bowls of wrath that will occur at the very conclusion of that period of time is described, as you may remember, in the 16th chapter of the Revelation. For a moment, if you will please, turn to that 16th chapter of the Revelation and notice the 12th verse and following. That which takes place when that sixth angel pours out his bowl of wrath upon the earth at the very, very end of that period of time. We read in the 16th chapter, in the 12th verse, that the sixth angel poured out his vial or bowl upon the great river, Euphrates, that great river that separates the east from Palestine, that significant, tremendous river that has always been a great buffer and barrier. And the water of it was dried up that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. The Euphrates will be dried in order that from the east there may come a great horde of armies into Palestine. The 13th verse and the 14th verse indicate that by evil influence, the kings of the earth are going to be caused to bring together in Palestine their armies. As we read in the 14th verse, the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. When the river Euphrates has been caused to dry up, satanic and evil spirits will be used to bring together the kings of the earth into Palestine for a great climactic battle. The 15th verse indicates that this is going to be at the time that the Lord will come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, etc. And the 16th verse, he gathered them, that is, those referred to in the 14th verse, the kings of the earth and of the whole world, he gathered them together unto a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. Here is one of those biblical references to that great concluding military battle that will bring to an end the time of human government and rule upon the earth. That great battle of Armageddon. That is Armageddon, the mountain of Megiddo, or the Mount of Slaughter, situated west of the Jordan in the plain of Jezreel, east of Jerusalem. A great natural battleground, which apparently will be perhaps the focal point and the critical strategic point of that great battle that is going to come about at the end of this time, and from which the battle and the series of events are given a name, the Battle of Armageddon. Now, this points out to you the fact that the Scriptures do teach that at the end of the times of the Gentiles and at the end of the time of human government, there will be a great military battle, Armageddon. Now, we have this referred to and described in some detail back in the 14th chapter, where we principally will be studying this evening. It may well be that at a later time, we will endeavor to bring together several other of the references in the Bible and paint a comprehensive picture and descriptive picture of this great battle. But we are given a most remarkable description of it in the last part of the 14th chapter of the Revelation. In the 8th verse of the chapter, which we studied last Sunday before last, there was the proclamation that Great Babylon is going to be brought to doom, that apostate religious system of the end times. And in the 9th through the 12th verses, there is that great warning that the beast, the Antichrist, and those who follow him are about to receive divine judgment and wrath. And the 13th verse, that wonderful promise at that time to those who will be martyred because of their faith and the testimony of their faith. But then beginning at the 14th verse, where we now will study this evening, John was given a vision of two kinds of harvests. In the 14th through the 16th verses, John was given a vision of a harvest of grain. And in verses 17 through 20, he was given a vision of a vintage or of a grape harvest. And at the concluding of that, there is a vivid description of the Battle of Armageddon. I propose this evening now that we begin to read through those verses and see what is recorded here for our instruction. In the 14th verse, I looked and behold a white cloud. May I stop for a moment to say that prophetically, this is always the signal of the second advent of Jesus Christ to earth. And of course, in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament, it is a symbol of the divine presence. But in the prophetic sense, the cloud is the signal of the second advent to earth of the Lord Jesus. And John looked and behold a white cloud. This, of course, is reminiscent of the fact that the Lord Jesus, during the last two or three days of his earthly life, said, "You will see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the cloud of heaven." Or just a few moments earlier than those words, he had said, "Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn." I'm now quoting Matthew 24 and verse 30, and I have just previously cited Matthew chapter 26 and verse 64. "You shall, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the cloud of heaven. Or as we read in Revelation chapter 1 in verse 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. This is the signal of the second advent to earth of the Lord Jesus. I saw a white cloud. In your minds, I suggest that you contrast this with the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ for the rapture of the church that precedes this. When he comes, the second advent will include an aspect of coming into the air, at which time those who are believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and those who died in Christ will be caught up to meet him in the air and be with the Lord. But contrast to that is the time when he comes in the cloud to earth. And this, therefore, in the 14th verse of the 14th chapter is a reference to the coming, the second advent to earth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, this fixes the time for the events which are here described. If there is any question at all about the time that for these events that we will study, that time is fixed by the fact that the white cloud is here upon which is the Son of Man, the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice that not only did John say that, behold, I saw a white cloud, and upon the cloud. Now you must of course recognize the fact that the word makes these phrases important. John does not, and of course we believe that the Holy Spirit inspired these messages with purpose and meaning. He saw first a white cloud. And it's important that he saw this, as we've indicated. Now next, upon the cloud, one sitting like the Son of Man. This is, as we will certainly know, the incarnate Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. You certainly need to be conscious of the fact and aware that Jesus has the title Son of Man. This is an Old Testament title given in the book of Daniel to refer to the Ancient of Days. From Old Testament times, there is a reference to Son of Man. In the first chapter of the Revelation, verse 13, when John saw the vision of Jesus among the seven lampstands, which were the churches, the seven churches, when he saw that, he saw one like unto the Son of Man, clothed in the white robe, white hair, eyes flashing, in his hand the seven stars, feet like burnished brass. That great picture of the Lord Jesus walking among the churches, called in Revelation 1:13, called the Son of Man. But in Revelation 2:18, when this same person is described as speaking to the church at Thyatira, he is called the Son of God. So I think that it would be essential to relate the fact that in the book of Revelation, the Son of Man is specifically named the Son of God, as you compare chapter 1, verse 13, with chapter 2 and verse 18. So when John saw, seated upon the cloud, one like the Son of Man, who this is has already been identified in the early chapter, the first chapter and the second chapter of the Revelation, identified, of course, as the incarnate Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, having upon his head a golden crown. In the Greek, there are different words used for crown. There is a diadem, which is sometimes mentioned upon the head of the Lord Jesus when he reigns as king. But here there is another word which has a meaning. It is the Stephanos, which was the garland of victory, or the victor's wreath, placed upon the head of one who now is to receive the prize. And here Jesus is seen upon the white cloud wearing the stephanon, or the victor's wreath, for he comes now to receive the prize, the kingdom promised by the Father, and in his hand a sharp sickle, for he will come in judgment as he receives the reward or the prize. This is the opening part of this vision as described in the 14th verse. Then in the 15th verse, the vision proceeds by indicating that a second angel is seen. The second angel comes out of the sanctuary. The literal word used here, a second angel proceeding out of the sanctuary. Now, the Bible teaches that the earthly temple and the earthly tabernacle, according to Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 23 and 24, that those holy places made with hands are just a figure of the true, not indicating a literal temple in heaven, but rather that temple made with hands in many ways represented something that exists in heaven that we probably could not understand as well in any other way than the fact that God gave a blueprint to be built on earth, which blueprint, the temple and the tabernacle, figured and symbolized and presented certain things about the order that exists in heaven. Here, the second angel proceeds out of the sanctuary. This was the place where the presence of God was. So the second angel comes from the immediate presence of God the Father. He is, I am convinced, bringing the commission of the Father for Christ to proceed in his advent to earth. You remember how Jesus said, when the disciples asked him, he said, no one knows the times or the seasons except the Father who has kept this for himself. Remember how Jesus said, the Father has kept the times and the seasons to himself. Now this is presented for us by the fact that an angel proceeds out of the sanctuary, the place of the localized presence of God the Father, and he speaks to the Lord Jesus, thrust in the sickle, the time that the Father had kept to himself, the time of the advent of the Lord Jesus. Now the Lord Father in heaven reveals, and the angel speaks and says, thrust in the sickle and reap, for the time to reap is come, and the harvest and the earth is overripe. Last Sunday evening, our speaker spoke about the times that Jesus said would exist at the time of the second advent to earth of the Lord Jesus. Now, in the 16th verse, just quickly before we go on, we read that he who sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. This is the reaping of grain. I must be honest to say that Bible scholars are not exactly agreed upon what this particular vision of the harvest of grain is. Some believe that this is representing the gathering of the elect of God from all parts of the earth. You remember how the scriptures indicated, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, for example, in verse 27, that he will gather together his elect from the four winds of heaven. And so there are some who believe that when this speaks of the fact that he thrust in his sickle on the earth and reaped the grain there, that this is symbolic of the fact that at this time the Lord will be gathering his elect from the four winds of heaven. Others believe that this is simply indicating the great bowls of wrath that are going to be poured out and are described in the 16th chapter, a time of judgment. He thrusts in the sickle to judge the wicked, and the 16th chapter reveals the pouring out of bowls of wrath. And so they believe that this gathering of the harvest of grain is simply a representation of that great pouring out of the bowls of wrath upon the earth that is described for us in the 16th chapter. Apparently, however, this represents either the Lord Jesus gathering together like the grain, the harvest of grain, his elect who are living, the Hebrew people from the four winds of the earth, or it represents what the 16th chapter describes in detail, the pouring out of that final act of judgment upon those who are alive. But in the 17th verse, and now we begin to approach the passage that is of utmost interest to us, there is a second vision which John sees. Another angel came out of the sanctuary which is in heaven. This will be the Lord Jesus. Do not be disturbed by the fact that he is called an angel, because the word angel is not always used to describe the person. It is, as I have explained before, the Greek word angelos, which many times simply means a messenger. In the Old Testament, there was the angel of Jehovah, who was God himself, God the second person, described thus in the Old Testament. An angel, not because he was a cherubim or a seraphim, but he was a messenger, an angelos, sent from the Father to speak to men. He was the Word, in other words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus, the Word, because he was the one who always expressed God to man, both in the Old Testament as the angel of Jehovah, the messenger of Jehovah, and here the angel coming out, or the messenger, describing not the person but the office that he fulfills, coming out of the sanctuary, the presence of the Father, having a sharp sickle. And the 18th verse says, again, a second angel came from the altar, who had, we could spend some time on this, but I suspect that if we did, we would not get to the last two verses tonight, and I think that you would probably prefer that I proceed there. But this angel from the altar is pictured earlier, probably in the Revelation, and what he means and what he is fairly well explained, apparently so, in the Revelation. And this one had power over fire, that is, over the fire of divine justice and judgment. And he cried to the first angel with the sickle and said, "Send forth your sharp sickle and thrust it in and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe." And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. Now, I am prepared this evening to show you, and in just a few moments I will do so, to show you that this verse is a description of the gathering of the armies of the world to the battle of Armageddon. When we read here that he gathered the vine of the earth and cast that into the great winepress of the wrath of God, this is a highly descriptive picture of the fact that the armies of the world, as we read in chapter 16, will be gathered in one great place, and there God will trample them in a great climactic battle. Let me give to you the picture that we have here. In Palestine, the main vintage takes place, apparently, in September. The ripe fruit was gathered in baskets, and it was carried to the wine press. Now, the wine press was constituted by two vats, or receptacles, which were at different elevations, a higher receptacle and a lower receptacle, which were usually hewn out of solid rock. The grapes were brought and put into the first of these, the upper vat. And there in the upper vat, they were subjected to treading. A man who would walk barefooted upon the grapes that were placed in the upper receptacle, walking upon the grapes in his bare feet, treading out the juice, which would be released and flow through an opening into the second receptacle, the lower one. And as the man would tread upon the grapes that had been gathered together and put there, his legs and garment would become dyed red with the juice. The juice then, of course, as I've indicated, escaping by an opening into the lower vat. These ancient vats, I am told, can still be seen in Palestine. Now, this is the picture which is given to us here in the 18th and the 19th and the 20th verse. The wine press was trodden, verse 20. It's the picture of the grapes that have been gathered together, brought into the receptacle and placed in that upper receptacle, and a man gets in and treads upon them until the juice flows out into the lower one. The wine press was trodden, and the blood came out of the wine press. Here is a description of the fact that the armies of earth and the kings and the armies of the kings of the earth at this time will be gathered together like the fruit, like the vintage. When it is placed into the receptacle, the armies of the beast and of the false prophet, as Christ allows them to be gathered through the influence of the miracles and the evil spirits of Antichrist, who will influence their coming together into Palestine as though they are in that great vat. And when they are there, the wine press will be trod as Christ comes and the great battle of Armageddon is fought. And the wine press of the wrath of God, described in verse 20, is the last great struggle, I am sure in my mind, believe, between the armies of earth and the forces of heaven. Now let me give to you some references that show that this is certainly what the Bible means by all of this. If you will, be prepared now to turn to some other references in the Scriptures in order that we may see this amazing description. Turn to the Old Testament, to the book of Joel, chapter 3, verses 11 through 16. Joel chapter 3, verses 11 through 16. Notice here the words. We're going to look at a couple of others in a moment that I think are even more significant, but this one itself is quite clear. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause your mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Verse 13, put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The moon and the sun will be darkened, and the stars withdraw their shining. The Lord shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people. Now notice that this passage describes a gathering of the heathen and of their mighty armies. And when they are gathered, the phrase that is used is, the harvest is ripe, put in the sickle, for the Lord will come and be the hope of his people. Here is that vivid description of the time that the heathen armies will be gathered in that great battle, and at that time the Lord will come and they shall be tread in the wine press. Now there is, of course, another great description in the Old Testament.